Hello and welcome to the PCJ Media Archives. I'm Keith Parent. Radio Netherlands Worldwide, or as they identified themselves back in the old days of radio, Radio Nederland, the Dutch world broadcasting system, had a way of being very attractive to listeners. In the old days, the Wildomromp produced programs light enough and entertaining that it became one of the most popular international broadcasters. Today we present one in a series of programs that would air at the end of each year, called Window on Holland. This edition was broadcast December 28, 1959, and is produced and presented by Doug Stanley and Jerry Callen.
That was Window on Holland, 1959, played backwards. Say, Jerry, how would you like to hear it played forward at the right speed?
Yeah, please. Stancon production.
Live from Holland, we present our annual newsreel. Window on Holland.
This time we smash our window. To stick our necks out as we review what happened in 1959 in the land of Doe and Dykes.
Hey, don't forget the dames.
Dames we never forget. But right now, let's remember the month of January 1959. We are here, and
you were there.
To Holland to dig the Dutch theatrical scene came Ozia Trilling, noted English theater critic and lecturer.
Although no longer president of Brazil, Getulio Vargas had a 33,000-ton oil tanker named after him, which was launched at Verolme United Shipyards here in Holland. Doug?
Oh, sorry. I was still thinking about Mr. Trilling, the theater critic. Say, don't they usually present a traditional play in January?
Yeah, sure thing. The play is Gijsbrecht van Amstel by the 17th century Dutch author Joost van den Vondel and was presented by the Netherlands Comédie.
Well, let's take time out now for a brief spot of music. Holland, Land of Flowers. A giant horticultural exhibition came into the planning stages. To be known as Floriade, it will take place from March 25th to September 25th, 1960, in the city of Rotterdam.
A shadow darkened the normally cordial relations between the Netherlands and Great Britain when the British government announced that KLM, Royal Dutch Airlines, would have to cut its thrice-weekly flights to Singapore to once per week. Colonel Nuss, head of KLM's Foreign Service Department, said,
"The English, after we were thrown out of Indonesia, the English could rightly claim that KLM had no terminal rights in Singapore. But they forgot that in the meantime, in 22 years of hard pioneering work, KLM had built up a tremendous traffic market of their own along the route, including, of course, Singapore."
And to this date, the issue of KLM landing rights in Singapore is still up in the air.
Hey, up in the air. I like that.
You should. You wrote it.
January also saw the arrival of the then United States Under Secretary of Defense, Donald A. Quarles. On a general tour of all NATO countries, he spoke with Mr. Stuff, Holland's Minister of Defense at that time. When asked whether missiles were discussed, Mr. Quarles replied,
Yes, they were. Both some of the missiles in which his government was particularly interested in, and some of the situations in which both his government and mine are hoping to establish a closer collaboration through the North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Later in the year, on May 8th, Donald A. Quarles died in his sleep at the age of 64.
From the political chessboard to the game of chess, the annual Beverwijk Blast Furnace Chess Tournament was held this year for the 21st time. 120 players took part in the various categories, representing a total of 20 countries. And now, back to the field of politics.
Sir Edwin McCarthy became Australia's new ambassador to the Netherlands. Before leaving Australia, he had talks with his foreign minister concerning the ways in which he could help in solving some of the existing problems between these two countries. Sir Edwin McCarthy elaborates.
He told me there are two main questions which I think you might be able to fill from our point of view. One deals, of course, with the relationship between the Dutch and Australia in relation to New Guinea, and the other is in the economic field where we are interested, highly interested, in the common market and all its implications, including, of course, the relationship of the common market to the other OEEC countries, of which Britain, of course, is one of the leading countries.
And one of the British Commonwealth's leading Antarctic explorers, Sir Vivian Fuchs, came here on a lecture tour and to accept the Royal Netherlands Geographical Society's Plancius Gold Medal.
Now we go out of this world. The Dutch government physics laboratory radio receivers in The Hague picked up a signal from the 50-kilowatt transmitter at the U.S. Army's Monmouth, New Jersey station. The signal had evidently been bounced off the moon on the ultra-high frequency of 1.98 meters. This may have been the beginning of new possibilities in international communications.
Now back to Earth and the month of February. Work was and still is going on to construct the largest pipeline in Europe, which will stretch from Rotterdam to Cologne in Germany. It is being built under Dutch direction, American advice, and British contractors.
Yes, but where's the money coming from?
Not from me, of that you can be sure.
The director of the company that's building the pipeline said,
as you know, we hope to may be ready by July 60, mm-hmm. And we were ready. We are constructing the pipeline for an ultimate 20 million tons.
Leaving Holland's winter climb, His Royal Highness Prince Bernhard left for a four-week goodwill tour of South American cities, combining both business and pleasure.
February also saw the opening of the 40th International Motor Show in Amsterdam's Mammoth Exhibition Hall. And brother, was February ever a foggy month. Carl Sandburg once said,
the fog comes on little cat feet. It sits looking over the harbor and the city on silent haunches and then moves on.
However, this time it took almost a whole month for the fog to move on. All of the country was cloaked in this demoralizing mantle of mist, which represented a serious threat to the 130 seagoing ships plying back and forth daily between Rotterdam and the other ports of the world.
To combat the problem, the authorities installed 7 overlapping radar stations down the new 21-mile waterway to the sea.
Thus, the month of February 1959 became history, and we ushered in March, and spring was not too far off.
Board!
Hey, Jerry, where are you off to?
Nowhere. But if you happen to have a Eurail pass, you could be off to wherever you please.
No kidding. Please tell us more, as if you weren't going to anywhere.
Well, the railways of Western Europe took a gigantic stride forward when they initiated the Eurail pass.
Yeah, but what is this pass?
It's a prepaid railway ticket that entitles the bearer to travel at will through practically all of the European continent. Cost $125 American and is valid for 2 months.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear you. Happy birthday to you.
Gee, thanks, fellas. Thanks, Doug. Oh, this is wonderful.
No, no, not you. KLM Royal Dutch Airlines, who this year celebrated their 40th anniversary.
One of the biggest upheavals in the Dutch Parliament took place in March. Elections were held for the lower chamber, and the results provided quite a few surprises.
I just love surprises.
Well, stick around. You may see a few more at the next election.
And when will this be, pray tell?
In 4 years, all going well.
Een beetje. Verliefd was je wel meer, meneer, dat weet je. Je hart kwam wel eens meer op een ideetje. Dat speet je maar, ach weet je, soms vergeet je wel een beetje gauw je eetje. Van trouw.
Gee, that tune's nice, I like that.
Seems a lot of other people feel the same way, Doug, because Holland's Teddy Scholten walked away with top honors warbling that ditty at the Eurovision Song Festival in Cannes. Britain was second, France third.
News, 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 news.
The all-new DAF 600, the first fully automatic small family car, was born in Holland at Van Doorn's Automobile Works in Eindhoven.
Reasonably priced, sturdy and strong.
Ask the man who's been hit by one.
April 1959.
This month saw the 10th anniversary of NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. The Netherlands ambassador to London, Baron Bentinck, sums up the achievements of NATO in the past 10 years.
NATO has certainly achieved a great deal in the last 10 years. It has achieved a very important and powerful military organization. Perhaps not quite as powerful and as strong as we would like it, but certainly strong enough to keep the Soviets in check in Europe. We also have achieved a very important civil apparatus, the international staff. And furthermore, what is very important, we have achieved, and as a great achievement, the political consultation which raised the possibility to all members of the alliance to voice their point of view in every respect on all problems.
To the Netherlands came a visitor from the divided city, Herr Willy Brandt, mayor of West Berlin.
Friendship took to the air in the shape of a Fokker airliner, the first of 12 to be delivered to Trans-Australian Airways down under.
In Holland's world-famous Kokkenhof Flower Gardens, a new tulip was named the United Nations.
Say, how would you like to appear in a television quiz show, Doug?
Yeah, only if I could win as much money as Charles Van Doren did. And by the way, when on a visit to Holland, he was asked at the airport how he felt about his trip to Europe.
It'll be a very exciting and wonderful occasion, I think.
When asked about expenses regarding a TV film to be shot in Paris, he replied,
"Don't ask me about expenses."
It's most unlikely that anyone will, now that Mr. Van Doren has testified into the TV quiz scandal in the U.S. and is no longer employed by the network.
All that we know about polio and protection against it is the result of gradually accumulating experience over many years by many investigators in many countries.
So said Dr. Jonas Salk, the discoverer of the anti-polio vaccine which bears his name. He was on a lecture tour which included the Netherlands.
Another guest to Holland was Sir John Glubb Pasha, the former commander of Jordan's famed Arab Legion. He came here in May as the guest of the Netherlands English Society and had this to say about communism in the Middle East.
Just at the moment, of course, the communists as communists appear to be very strong in Baghdad. That is, I think, not because there are a high percentage of communists in the country, but merely because communists are always a small party who are very well organized and receive directions, orders for exactly what they're going to do. The vast majority of the people are not communists, but they're either divided into different parties against one another, or they're not quite certain what they really do want. And so a small group of communists can win a great amount of power because they go straight for their objective.
Another distinguished personality to visit Holland in May was Great Britain's former Prime Minister, Lord Clement Attlee.
Now from lords to ladies, and a particular lady of the theatre. At the end of May, Irish-born actress Siobhan McKenna appeared here as St. Joan of Arc in George Bernard Shaw's St. Joan, along with the Dublin Gate Players.
By and large, I find the Amsterdam audiences are more like the English audiences. They are quiet during the play, so much so that on the first night in Utrecht, some of the company felt that we were dead ducks, you know, and thought they were cold. And I said, no, the greatest compliment you can get is no coughing and absolute silence in the theatre. And they had a sense of humour, but the great test came for me in the cathedral scene.
And here is part of that scene.
O God, that madest this beautiful earth, when will it be ready to receive thy saints? How long, O Lord? How long?
Anna Frank, portrayed in The Diary of Anna Frank by ex-New York model Millie Perkins. Millie visited Holland for the screening of this moving motion picture depicting the life of a young Dutch Jewish girl under the Nazi regime.
Also in the merry month of May, the Shah of Persia paid a four-day state visit to the land of windmills.
And airport authorities at Amsterdam Schiphol started making plans for bigger and better runways at that aerodrome.
There was a 50th commemoration of the first heavier-than-air flight by the Netherlands Balloon Club.
And the NATO countries presented their second NATO tattoo in Arnhem.
First off in July, Mr. and Mrs. Clark Gable and family of Hollywood, California came here on a personal pleasure trip. The wandering Jew, Theodore Bekel, wandered into Holland, where he made a film called The Dog of Flanders. Motion picture actor and folk song singer, multilingual Bekel, said,
I never intended this to be a job. I never intended it to be a career. I always did it. I did it for friends. I did it at parties. And then somebody inveigled me and persuaded me to make a record. And the record became very well known. And then I made a second and a third and a fourth and a seventh. And all of a sudden I find that it has become a big factory of folk music.
And from another branch of the musical world came fiery, tempestuous Maria Callas, to appear in the Holland Festival of the Arts. She said on arrival,
well, I can only say one thing, that I hope to God everything goes well, but I'm particularly happy to be here in Holland. Aside the very many letters I receive, I'm particularly happy to be with Mr. Diamond, a very old friend, a very fine person, and I hope you realize that you should be very proud to have such a director.
And we might just mention that everything did go well for Miss Cullas.
August was a rather quiet month with one arrival of note. A gentleman whose name has become synonymous with cold, hard cash.
You mean Rockefeller or Doug Stanley?
I sure do. Rockefeller, that is. He stopped off at Amsterdam Airport on his way to Norway to see his son marry a young lady from that country.
Well, now, let's tear another page off our calendar.
And so we herald in the month of September, and the Holland America Line welcomed its new 38,000-ton flagship, the Rotterdam.
September saw her make her maiden voyage to New York. Among the passengers was Her Royal Highness Princess Beatrix of the Dutch Royal Family, on her way to take part in the Henry Hudson celebrations.
The entire year was marked with celebrations on behalf of KLM's 40th anniversary. An event that took place in October was the placing of 10 international letters predicting the future of civil aviation in a silver container.
The container was then placed at the foot of the Dom Tower in Utrecht, the highest tower in the Netherlands, and will be opened in the year 2000.
Still in Utrecht, the Veteran Car Rally was held and organized by the Pioneer Auto Club of Holland.
A team of Dutch experts returned from an expedition to the wilds of Dutch New Guinea. We asked the leader, Dr. Brongersma, whether the information obtained will be of any use to other countries. The reply was...
Oh, I am certain of that, because we exchange our publications with quite a number of institutions all over the world.
The Indian Ballet Company came to perform in Holland. The leader of the company was asked whether or not Dutch people understood and appreciated the Indian dance, whereupon she replied...
Yes, I think we feel that they have been a very warm and welcoming audience, and that they have really understood very much of the dancing.
The Canadian ambassador to the Netherlands, Mr. Charles Lebert, along with other embassy officials, journeyed to Bergen-op-Zoom.
It was there, toward the end of October, that the local inhabitants marked the 15th anniversary of their liberation by Canadian troops.
November brought with it cold winds, and blowing it hot in Amsterdam was trombonist Kid Ory, in town for a one-night stand.
Well, that was it for November.
Hold on, not quite. The month of November brought fame to Miss Corinne Rotschaffer, who comes from Holland and was chosen Miss World 1959 in London.
Beauty queen, eh? What were they judged on?
Well, let's ask Corinne.
That was on poise, intelligence, and beauty, of course.
But of course...
KLM Royal Dutch Airlines booked its 1,000,000th passenger in November for the first time prior to the end of the year.
The American community in Holland celebrated their annual feast of Thanksgiving in Leiden.
And they received a special message from the President of the United States, Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Back to the visitors to Holland department, and this time it was England's Vera Lynn who popped in to sing a few songs on television.
There was another songstress who came here for a personal appearance, and this was Catharina Valente, who met the press at a reception in Amsterdam. Doug?
Yes, Jerry?
Now, we can move on to December.
All right, then. Let's do just that and move over to the very last month of the year 1959.
And this being December, everyone was treated to another visit from that jolly old St. Nicholas, Santa Claus or Father Christmas, whichever you prefer.
And the world over, people rejoiced in the family circle.
A very special treat for the Dutch this month, too.
A Dutch treat?
I can't really say, but tell you what. Why don't you tell the folks a little about this particular event, okay?
All right. Here we go. Free and easy. Free and Easy, that's the name of a new show costing $300,000, which had its world premiere in the city of Amsterdam and is scheduled to go on the Broadway boards sometime next year. With music by Harold Arlen and lyrics by Johnny Mercer, Free and Easy features an all-star cast headed by Harold Nichols, Martha Flowers, and Irene Williams.
Free and easy, that's my style. How did you... Watch me smile, fare thee well me, after while. 'Cause I gotta roam, and any place I hang my hat is home.
You saw the show, Doug, and I know that you had a chat with a Mr. Lewis, who is the public relations man for Free and Easy. What did he say?
Shh, listen.
Mr. Lewis, blues in the night, come rain or come shine, and accentuate the positive. Aren't these kind of old songs? I was rather surprised to see them included in Free and Easy. Was there any special reason?
Mr. Arlen has had a show like Free and Easy in mind for a great many years. He wrote many songs with this show in mind. Mm-hmm. These songs, because the show was so far in the distance, he used at various times in other shows and other films as they came up. The fact that he would get this show together was a distant dream, and when it came together, he once again used these songs which he had always planned to use.
So, for Harold Arlen, it's a dream come true.
And let's hope that 1960 will prove to be free and easy.
And I'll second that. Say, fella, that reminds me, time's just about up. And the old clock is ticking away the last minutes of 1959.
You mean that's all that happened in December?
Well, I guess that one could call what we've mentioned the highlights.
You know something, I feel a little sad thinking that this is our final window on Holland for the year.
Yeah, but 1960 will have more windows to be opened, with more interesting personalities and events.
Is this really all that happened this year?
Well, no, there were many other events which we just don't have the time to go into here.
Well, name some.
Okay. You may have heard about this. The first thing is that a Dutch domestic radio station here in Hilversum held a campaign called Save a Child, remember?
Oh, yes, I heard about that. I believe they raised $500,000 for Algerian refugee children in Morocco.
Okay, then. Ever hear of a guy called Mr. Zamenhof?
Sure thing. He conceived that language called Esperanto, didn't he?
Quit peeking at my script, boy. Anyway, this chap had his birth celebrated just a while back.
You mean he's still alive?
No, he's not alive, but his centenary was celebrated. But you see, that's what I mean. We can't go into everything.
Well, what do you say we get real corny and play Auld Lang Syne?
Well, I don't think that it's corny.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old lang syne? For old lang syne, my dear, for old lang syne. We'll take a cup of kindness yet for old lang syne. And here's a hand, my trusty friend, and gives a hand o' thine. We'll take a cup o' kindness yet for auld lang syne. For auld lang syne, my dear, for auld lang syne. We'll take a cup of kindness yet for auld lang syne.
Now, as I was saying, Doug, that maybe a little sad, perhaps, but it's not corny. I think it's become tradition about this time of the year to play Auld Lang Syne, don't you?
I just hope we get a chance to sing it before the new year arrives on the scene.
Would you like to sing a part of it now?
Part of Auld Lang Syne? No, I don't think so. I think I'll save my tonsils for the new year.
Okay.
Well, what more can we add except to say that we must close another window on Holland, our annual window. So until next year, we both wish each and all of you
a happy new year.
Our annual window was compiled and presented by
my colleague, Doug Stanley,
and my buddy, Jerry Cowan.
And was a Stan Kong production, from Holland. If you enjoy these special programs from PCJ, let us know. Our email address is pcjmedia@gmail.com.